Ukraine crisis, the Gulf Cooperation Council, Gulf crisis, all these things come together in a very critical meeting that took place early in June. A meeting between the Gulf Cooperation Council, that is led by Saudi Arabia, the kingdom, of course, but these are the oil and gas producing states critical to the prosperity of the earth. And the foreign minister of the Russian Federation, Sergei Lavrov, who traveled to the Gulf Cooperation Council to discuss common purpose during this crisis period. I welcome Ekaterina Zolotova of the Geopolitical Futures, who's here to help me understand an essay she's published. This is a subscription site. I recommend it highly. An analysis she's published of this meeting between the foreign minister of a power now engaged in active conflict with Europe and NATO and the Gulf Cooperation Council. Ekaterina, a very good day to you. Thank you very much. Lavrov was welcomed. He participated. There will be a follow-up to this meeting, a strategic conversation I learned from you in 2023. But importantly, you identify what Russia and the GCC can have in common during these days of crisis. The first is about oil production or energy production, oil and gas. How is it that Russia and the GCC are talking about oil and gas now? Is this OPEC or is this OPEC updated because of the alarm in Ukraine? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you for having me here. It's a great pleasure. And let's start discussing this meeting then. Indeed, Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, came to the Arab countries. In the beginning of the month, he visited such countries as Oman, then he went to Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, and of course he discussed a lot of items and a lot of themes, including the cooperation in energy sector and economic cooperation between the countries. And the oil cooperation is one of the most important and the most interesting one. First of all, we need to understand several things here. Thing number one that we need to understand is that the Arab countries, they do not want to go and turn away from Russia. I mean, in cooperation with Russia about this question. There were a lot of talks that during the crisis and during the economic war against Russia, and as well the pressure on Russia from Europe, it is possible that production of oil and gas in Russian Federation will decrease, and it means that Arab countries can replace the Russian oil. But in fact, we shouldn't run to make this conclusion for several reasons. And the first one, of course, I mentioned that it is cooperation between Russia and the Arab countries in this area. You said about OPEC Plus, and you're absolutely correct. Saudi Arabia, one of the major regional power, hopes to create and to continue this cooperation via OPEC Plus. And it doesn't want to remove Russia from this cooperation, simply because Saudi Arabia is also interested to have the high oil prices. The second thing is that drop of production in Russia, and it doesn't mean that Russia will face drop in income. Russia has started to look to the east and it tries to find the partners in the eastern side of the world, for example, Asian markets, where it tries to deliver the oil with the big discount. And Saudi Arabia, of course, is trying to cooperate with Russia in that option in order to keep the prices quite high, because it is important for Saudi economy, for other Arab economies because of the high income, and of course for Russia. And the final point that we need to mention is that not all depends on the production. Russia has one kind of oil, and the Arab countries, they have another kind of oil. And of course, prices are rising not only due to some insufficiency in production. There is also loss in processing capacity, which started during the pandemic and still continues. And let's turn to the kind of oil here. We need to mention that Arab countries and Russia understands that they can't replace each other, simply because Russian oil has one quality and it can be used mostly for one type of gasoline production. And Arab countries have another type of oil, which will be ideal for gasoline, for another kind of gasoline production. So, in fact, there is more cooperation. It would be better if these countries start to cooperate in order to keep the prices high, which is very comfortable for both of these countries and for both of these countries. And at the same time, it's easy for them to cooperate in order to create some kind of oil and work in this direction. There were some projects that were discussed before all of this conflict. These projects included the construction of refinery and cooperation between Russia and Arab countries in this refinery. So potentially that would be the major sphere where these two countries can, not two countries, where these countries, Gulf countries and Russia could cooperate. So it is not a competition. It's mostly a partnership between all these countries in OPEC plus format in order to keep the prices high and to understand the production.
Now, Katerina, I learned from you that there is another area of cooperation. Russia is talking to the Gulf countries about food. There is now a question of food security worldwide because of Ukraine. This is not only for wheat, but all foodstuffs. Is the GCC interested in Russian export to them? Are they going to grow their market?
I would say that there is a big potential for this cooperation. This has been discussed a long time ago, and in 2014, if I'm not mistaken, the first time the countries, the Arabic countries, the Gulf countries, started to discuss the possibility of construction of storages. The project included the storage of Russian grain for the region, and, for example, the Arab Emirates were discussing the stockpile of at least 3 million tons of wheat, especially. But unfortunately, this project was frozen due to many reasons and due to the lack of communication between other countries and lack of understanding how to create this logistical part. But I'm sure that right now it's going to be revived again. First of all, these countries are really in need of some grains and especially Russian grains as well. Some of them are quite successful in replacing Russian wheat, and sometimes they're even self-sufficient. For example, there is Saudi Arabia. It can produce enough of soft wheat to meet the domestic demand, but it's not enough to create these stockpiles that would be needed. We know that the problem of drought is very crucial for Saudi Arabia and the Gulf countries, so it would be really bad if they have some kind of storages. The countries like Oman is one of the major buyers of Russian grain. Arab Emirates also ranked as the second in the Gulf, and they buy about 50% of its grain from Russia. Also, Russia supplies barley, for example, together with some other countries like Australia, Argentina, France, and so on. So Russia is one of the major suppliers. And I'm sure that this is going to be one of the interesting way to cooperate between these countries.
You report that Mr. Lavrov represented that Russia is eager to be the breadbasket of the Middle East. Was that welcomed, his remark? Did they celebrate that?
This idea of creating breadbasket was circulating for many years, and it was very widely discussed. I can't say that it was very celebrated this time, simply because this project already existed, and there are still a lot of constraints in this project. For example, logistic question, how to bring all of this grain to the Gulf countries right now in these conditions. But for sure, they started to look at Russia as one of potential way to buy the wheat, especially if Russia is ready to provide it. Because Russia right now is trying to ban the export or to limit the export in order to keep the prices inside the Russian market and as well to choose the better partners for the wheat.
I'm speaking with Ekaterina Zolotova. She's in Moscow speaking about Sergei Lavrov's embassy to the Gulf Cooperation Council in these last days. However, what can go wrong and why? When we come back, this is CBSi in the World. I'm John Batchelor.